Happy anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Kia ora tata.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
How's it going? Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
There it is.
Sorry, there's just been a bunch of beautiful, delicious treats that have been.
We've just been delivered some food.
Yeah, you have some lemon sponge.
Yes, it's in celebration of Game of Thrones. Today.
Yeah.
No spoilers, please.
I've never heard of this show.
I don't know. Have
I'm actually really excited about it. I don't know what to do.
I've been waiting 2 years for this moment.
No. You know what? To all of us strugglers out there who have been waiting for this long.
I've spent the last 2 weeks watching the old series just to kind of get my brain.
Yeah, last winter was brutal without the old Game of Thrones.
It was more cooler than usual.
Yeah.
Sorry. Enough of Game of Thrones.
I can't stop thinking about it.
But what? I think a person who might have fitted quite well into Game of Thrones is Prince.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's the overall prince of all princes.
Prince of, I was going to say the Prince of Darkness, but that's Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. I guess he's like the, I think he would do really well in Dawn. You know how Dawn were free and easy and quite beautiful.
Perfect.
And
yeah, perfect. So today we're looking at Purple Rain, which is turning 35, and I chose this one to do this week because I think it's on Sunday is the third anniversary of his death, so I tried to get it as close as possible to that.
Oh, thanks.
To that day. So yeah, obviously Purple Rain, the sixth studio album from Prince, and the soundtrack to the film of the same name, of course. And sorry, that's just a bit of sponge going down. So by 1984, Prince, he was pretty much an established artist in the world. His career was 8 years deep, and he'd released 5 albums prior to this one. It was kind of a mixture of disco, R&B, and funk, mainly. But in the early 80s, he was on a bit of a hot streak of records. He'd released Dirty Mind, Controversy, and 1999 as well. But this particular album, Purple Rain, would change his career completely, and he'd go from I would say a niche kind of R&B artist into this massive global pop superstar.
Yes.
And the idea of this record was for it to be the soundtrack to the film, which Prince and some other people as well devised the concept of this film previous to this record being recorded. It was actually about 2 or 3 years before. So the film had been in the works for a while, and this record was simply going to be the soundtrack, basically. And for this album, it was also the first time that he had joining him in a studio capacity, his backing band, The Revolution. We can't forget about The Revolution. And it was the first record they appeared on, and it started the trend of him throughout the rest of his career where he'd credit his backing band quite regularly on his records, and he worked with various musicians in different forms over the years. And the record was recorded over a 7-month period, and stylistically it was kind of more denser, had quite a bigger sound compared to his previous records. He utilized drum machines, synths, and also more electric guitars on this record. Lots and lots of overdubs and massive layers, which kind of created this wall of sound, I guess. And that was certainly brought in more pop, rock, and dance influences as well.
Mm.
And this, I think, showed his musical development and not wanting to stay anchored in one particular style for too long, but wanting to appeal to a wider audience and kind of explore more things. And that's certainly the case with this record. So
yes,
let's start with the opening track and the second single. It's called Let's Go Crazy. This is one of his most popular songs. Obviously, he played it for many, many years live, and it was also his second ever number one hit in the United States.
Oh yeah.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Take a look around. At least you got friends. I call my old lady.
Yeah.
What a god.
That's some shredding.
That was some shreds. That Get was some shreds and a half.
Get on it. Yeah, Prince, very good guitar player. Very good guitar player.
Yeah.
As you can see there.
And as a multi-instrumentalist,
yes,
it was his best, his favorite.
It
I
was,
guess.
Yes. And he also played piano as well. Mm. He played everything.
He played everything.
Just one of those extremely talented musicians.
A god.
So the next track we're going to play is a bit of a deeper cut from the record. It's called Baby I'm a Star, track number 8. And this one was actually written and recorded originally in 1981, but was reworked for this album with The Revolution. And yeah, this one has kind of strong funk pop aesthetic to it, and was also performed by Prince at his famous 2007 Super Bowl halftime show.
Whee! I hope you're dancing at home or wherever you are. Work, whatever.
Work.
Dixon 5395. Tell us about your connection to Prince.
We'll be right back.
honestly think that you did not stop moving.
I don't know if I did.
No, I don't think you did. Sam was, had just been dancing and dancing this whole time. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's good to watch.
A dad dancing, pretty much.
No, you've got great rhythm.
let's talk about how this album was received then, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. Well, to say that it was successful is an understatement, really. It was huge. And it got plenty of Grammy and Oscar nominations. Of course, it was a film soundtrack as well, so Oscar nominations.
You know, I'm just going to cut in here. I watched Rick James's Tales from a Tour Bus last night. Mm-hmm. It was recommended. And there was this rivalry between them. And then when Purple Rain hit, Rick James... was on the down, like the decline, yep. And Prince was turned into a supernova,
yep.
And there was this whole thing between them about black artists in white environments.
Interesting.
And he was kind of dogging on Prince at the time.
God, Rick.
Yeah, because he was pissed off that that Rick James wasn't part of it, part of the same slicey pie.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Support your fellow artists, bro.
Well, I mean, like, one side is talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and the other is talking about, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
True,
but
true.
In a very different way.
Very true.
More pragmatic approach, I'd say.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, that's all I've got to say about this.
That's an interesting story.
But for you listeners out there who haven't watched it, I recommend.
So, yeah, so the nominations came in and also went to number one in the US. And as of 2008, it had sold over 25 million albums worldwide, which is astronomical when you think about it. That's probably definitely would have increased since then. So it was this massive pop behemoth of a record and one of the biggest albums of the 1980s. And if he wasn't known already, he certainly was now this established artist. And the name Prince was going to permeate through society through the rest of the decade and through the rest of his life.
You sound really emotional.
I'm just getting so emotional now. it's since gone on to be considered, if not his best album, definitely one of his best albums, and no doubt remains his most commercially successful record. And after that, he just went from strength to strength and had this great run of albums in the late 80s into the 90s. And he continued to release music right up to his death. 32 studio albums later. That's a significant amount of material when you think about it. He was an absolute prolific studio musician. When he wasn't on the road, he was in the studio. And he just lived in the studio, which is why since he's passed away, we've basically his massive infamous vault has been opened and all this unreleased music's kind of been released, which is another story in itself. And so...
Oh, we've got some texts in as well that I neglected to read out before. Mm. Just a few. So I remember seeing this with my girlfriend as a spotty face teen. I was into metal and thought Prince was more of a girl's Purple Rain. Purple Rain gave me a great respect for Prince, and I could relate to the movie.
Oh, that's nice.
Prince was a very sexy motherfunker. Loving the music. Thanks. Thank you. Oh, so. Darren O.
He was quite an attractive man.
Yes. Oh, yes. one time I was like, so, Mum, is Prince, like, gay? And she's like, oh no. Prince is very much about the ladies. Like, she has a thing for Prince. So
a lot of people do.
Hey, Mum. Prince's films are such a joyful and absurd viewing pleasure.
Yes, they are.
Also got to love a Slam's Prince track. Oh, Slam and Prince track. Sorry, I don't have my reading glasses on. Not that I need them. I just thought that would be a good excuse. And also, last but not least, to think they said he wouldn't make it as a rock star. They were right. So glad he funked it up. Yay, riff.
Oh, nice. Shot. Thanks for the love and the beautiful messages.
Oh, and last but not least, always love this segment. Massive thanks to both you guys.
Oh, sure. Bless up. Right, well, with that lovely message, we're going to end with one of his most well-known and popular songs. This is the sixth track of the album and the first single, When Doves Cry.
Get up from your seats,
and,
people.
Yeah, it was the biggest, actually the biggest selling song of 1984 and his first ever number one hit in the United States. And Rolling Stone magazine voted it the 52nd best song of all time. So props to you, Prince.
Props to you.
Obviously, I don't have time, but it was very hard picking the songs for this album. I could have picked any number of songs. I could have played the whole album, and we're not playing some songs that we could have played. So,
yes,
them's the breaks.
Them's the breaks. Well, thanks for coming in, Sam, and talking to us about this fantastic artist. And, yeah, hope everyone's got their interpretive dances ready. we're going to get into our first position.
Absolutely. Ready and rolling.
Ready and rolling. Okay. Thanks very much again, Sam.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.